Welcome to this part of the service. God bless you for being here and for what was already shared this morning. I feel like we got a lot. I could go home now and I would have a lot to ponder on. But I love this illustration here. I don't know how about y'all, but I was squirming in my seat. Nelson, you had me squirming. If you're supposed to identify yourself, well, that's one thing, but have somebody else identify you, that's a little scary. But what I love this because a few weeks back, one of the things that somebody mentioned that they would like to see more of here is more of the working of the Holy Spirit, okay? And this I see as being a part of this. If we're going to be lopsided in any of these, we're not going to be impactful in the kingdom of God. If we're just going to be humble, we're going to go through life, and we're just going to be humble, we're going to be pawns. And we're not going to have an impact for the kingdom of God. Like we could, okay? If we're just going to be smart and be charmers all the time, you know, and have no humility, have no sense of learning and growing, we're just going to breeze through life and not make much of an impact. If we're just hungry and we're the bulldozer, we're just going to plow people over wherever we go, and people are going to run from us, okay? We're not going to have much of an impact. But as we work towards the center, we're going to become balanced individuals and mix in with this. Okay, so this is a secular way. I mean, you don't have to be a Christian to impact this. You don't have to have access to the Holy Spirit to implement this. You can do this outside of that. Now, you bring this. You bring somebody into the center of this, and you mix the Holy Spirit in with that, and look out. That person is going to be impactful and it's going to make a difference in the world around us, and I think that's our goal. As we do that as a group, as we do that individuals, this group is going to become a magnet for the Holy Spirit. And so I love that picture, and I love the journey that we're on. Hopefully you're on. Hopefully you're not just here and taking it in and not doing anything with it. If you're just taking knowledge and you're not applying it, it's not benefiting you anything. In fact, what you're gonna end up is with what they call knowledge constipation. It's just gonna build up in there. It's not gonna have any place to go. You need an outlet, and as you put it to practice, that's your outlet. So make sure you're putting this stuff to practice. So that was so profound, Dale. I love the profoundness of that statement. I don't know if I can top that. It's going to snow 7 inches. It's just, if you're not excited about it, you're just going to have less joy. It's going to snow 7 inches either way. I love it. So, I don't know what for week you've had, but I'm wondering if the Holy Spirit's been working in any of your lives this week and something that you'd want to share. So I want to give you the opportunity right now. If there was something in your life this week that God showed you specifically or worked in a specific way, maybe he did some miracles in your life this week, but we'd want to hear about it. Why? Because it brings glory to God. If something happened in your life and you share it, you realize that's now multiplying God, the credit to God. If you just keep it to yourself, then it's you that's you. But as you share that, that credit to God gets multiplied. So who wants to multiply the glory of God this morning?
The word that I had for this week was survival. Now, you might not be thinking about that. You might want to think about thriving, but for me it was survival. And I survived.
Awesome.
In my surviving.
Well, I'm glad you survived. Not everybody did this week. Some people are... You thrived, awesome. What was it about it that, was there anything specifically that you thrived in?
I can't really say a particular anything, but it's just when I see God working around me, it helps me to thrive.
So what's one example of God working around you right now?
Right now it's business.
Okay. Awesome. Anybody else? Galen?
Wednesday I was at the healing center, and I do the afternoon session. And so I was asking God what he wanted. And I got a picture of him in the center of our circle. And then he went over and started praying for this one woman who had a blood clot. And so I forgot about it. We had showed up. And so I don't know if the blood clot was healed, but she declares that God was moving in her body.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
Amen. Last Sunday in our Sunday school, most of you weren't there. Last couple Sundays, we talked about miracles in our children's class, and miracles still happen today. And I don't want us to lose that vision. God is still the same God that He was back in from the beginning of time. He's still the worker of miracles, and it blows my mind sometimes that there's people around us. And maybe I was in this category one time, I don't know, but there's still people around us who think that was for a bygone day. And I want to emphatically tell you that that is not for a bygone day, that is for us today. It is for us today to experience everything that the Bible talks about and teaches. Anybody else?
Dave.
Nice. Awesome.
Last Sunday we were here, we were out at a family gathering, but we were doing a study on Ephesians, or a little verse in Ephesians, 1:15 through 20, and it really was powerful for me, because talking about our inheritance, our inheritance as Christians, what God's giving us, and He is giving us, says here that He is giving us the same power that He used to raise Jesus from the dead. And I was pondering that a lot this week.
Yeah. Yeah. And recognizing that, and we as Christians, we know what the end is, right? We're in a battle, but we know what the end is going to be. We know who's going to win, right? And sometimes we can just get comfortable in knowing that, in knowing what the end is for ourselves, and that's where we stay. But if it's just about us, we'll just stay there. But if it's about other people too, if it's about how many people can we bring to the light? How many cities can we bring to the light? How much, you know what I'm saying? How much impact can we have? And so we have to think outside of just ourselves. But yeah, we know what the end's going to be. Anybody else? Galen? And what did it take for that to happen? Did God just all of a sudden change things? It took people thinking about it, praying into it, caring enough about it. Yeah. All right, we can keep going. Anybody else? Awesome. That's great to see God work like that, and so faith-building too. I have one to share. This week, Mike, I'm surprised you didn't share this, but we received some partners, financial partners that come along and support the school. And pretty significant. Like, we have a bank who is now on board to give us a certain amount every year towards the expenses of the school. Like, $35,000 a year. Can we just clap for God on that? And we got another check this week, or at least something through funneled through a third party that completely takes care of our budget for the rest of the year. We're going into next year with a surplus. That has never happened before. So we're going in, we're ending the year, and we have money to go into next year already. So it's exciting. So it's just exciting to be a part of God's work and to see him work. And here's the thing, when God tells you to do something, then you move, and then to see him come alongside and validate that with providing what you need each step of the way. So, all right, so this morning I'm going to talk about betrayal. And I'm sure if I was to ask every person in here, you could point back to some time in your life when you were betrayed. If you can't, there will be a time in your life when somebody will betray you. We are human beings, okay? We live on the earth. We live on a fallen world, and we are human beings, and we make mistakes. We're not perfect. We're not God, okay? And so we're going to let each other down sometimes. That's just the way it is, okay? And if... The thing about betrayal, though, is that it's like a breakdown of trust, and then it takes time to rebuild that. I was going to have a can of marbles here, and I completely forgot it, just for a demonstration, but we'll just have to let that. So I'm going to share a story about a man by the name of Robert Hansen. Does that name ring a bell? Like, does that name sound familiar to anybody in here? Robert Hansen? What can you tell me about Robert Hansen? Okay. All right, anybody else? Does that name sound familiar? Okay. Robert Hansen was a spy to Russia and the Soviet Union for about 22 years. And he was finally caught in the year of 2001. So Robert is still alive today. He's just in a maximum security prison serving 15 life terms. In fact, I think they called the prison a supermax prison. So he ain't getting out anytime soon. What's that? No, he was from, forget which... Well, he would have moved around the country because he was an FBI agent. So he was...
Is he in prison in Russia or here?
No, he's here. Yeah. So he was a spy for the Russians. Here's the thing. He was an American, and he was a spy for the Russians. So he was an implant, implanted himself, but he became an FBI in 1976, joined the FBI... one thing about Robert that I'll say up front here too is that he had a prolonged emotional abuse by his dad, who was a Chicago Police Department. He was part of the... hey, awesome. He was... yeah. Do you have another cup? Thank you. So his dad was part of the Chicago Police Department, and... He had experienced a lot of emotional abuse from his dad, which made his childhood very challenging, and then haunted him for the rest of his life. So that's kind of his backdrop. So when he became a part of the FBI, he reached out to the Soviet Union. Thank you. He reached out to the Soviet Union and offered to give them classified information that he had access to. So in those 22 years that Robert Hansen was tipping people off, he was married, he had 6 kids, and in fact his wife stumbled upon some of his work very early on. It would have been, well, I say early on, within the first within the first 10 years that he was operating as a spy, she came across some of what he was doing. And so they were devout Catholics, or I should say she was. She was a devout Catholic. He converted to Catholicism from one of the others, forget which one it was. But anyway, so when they found this out, she made him go to the priest to confess. The priest told him that he needs to donate all the money that he made from being a spy to the Catholic Church, and then he wouldn't have to confess to the federal government. So that's what he did. And in fact, it pretty much, he did that pretty faithfully. Like the money that he made, he gave it back, but it ended up bankrupting him. Like he made millions of dollars. Well, I shouldn't say millions. I think over the period of time, he made $1.4 million from Russia and the Soviet Union. And plus they gave him all kinds of jewelry, diamonds, that kind of stuff. They rewarded him handsomely for the information that he gave him. So at that point, he kind of walked away from it for a little bit, for about 5 years, and then he got back into it again. And so some of the things that he tipped off is he told, you know, this is so interesting to me. I just didn't know this stuff. Maybe I just didn't think about it, I guess. But how infiltrated we are by the Russians. We have Russian spies here that the United States knows that they're here, and the United States has spies in Russia and the Soviet Union that they know that they're there, okay? So we have spies, they have spies, they know it, we know it. And so sometimes, and I remember the headlines of this a couple of years ago, I think it was either United States or Russia, one or the other was first, kicked out about 35 spies, and so the other country did the same thing. They kicked out 35 spies too. So, so that's what he was doing. And in tipping people off, like he would tip off who is a spy, who's a secret spy. So you'd have FBI agents who would embed themselves into the KGB. Now talk about being, it's fascinating, but it's mind-blowing too, that they're able to do that. So they would embed themselves in the KGB, they're FBI agents from America, embed themselves in the KGB, and then he would tip them off to that. And so there was a number of different, he was the reason that a number of people were executed. And when those people are found out, they're executed, and especially the Russians, they're pretty cruel to that stuff. So maybe Americans are too, they probably are. So anyway, he sold classified information to the KGB, and it cost, another thing he tipped them off to is the Russian embassy, when the Russians built a new embassy in Washington, what the Americans did is they burrowed a tunnel underneath the embassy and were going to secretly listen into their stuff that was going on there. So he tipped them off to that, and they rewarded him handsomely for that. I think it was around $500,000 that they rewarded him for that. That was a pretty good tip. So it cost the U.S. billions of dollars and irreparable, like you can't even calculate the amount of damage that he did in those 22 years as a spy. So why would somebody do that? I don't know. But something, I'm guessing it was something linked to his childhood, something messing with his mind. It appeared like he did it for money, but I think there was something deeper going on there. But the amount of damage that does when somebody turns on one of their own. All right, so that's in the government. That was Robert Hansen. That was his life. Today he's put away for forever, basically. So I don't know what your experience has been with betrayal. And I'm guessing, like I said earlier, that somewhere along the line, you've experienced betrayal. There is all kinds of areas that we can be betrayed in. But the deeper the friendship or the deeper the connection, the deeper your level of trust, when betrayal happens at that point, it's it's far more painful. Like, you can accept being betrayed by an enemy, right? You kind of expect that. You kind of expect an enemy to tip you off and to betray you. But when it happens from a close friend, it's very painful. You have that happen in marriages across this country. Like, it is an epidemic. You have it happening with couples who are unfaithful to each other. You have couples who are they're splitting ways because of the infidelity and their betrayal of each other. And it just creates a lot of pain. We just get to see this firsthand around us. And I'm so thankful that I was taught about the biblical principles around marriage, and that it's for life. And I don't think I really understood that until I see the damage that it does. Like, it is extremely damaging when you have couples divorce and then you have them remarry, and then now you have step siblings and you have multiple sets of grandparents, and the list goes on and on. But it's so damaging. So there's betrayal happens in marriage. There's betrayal happens within friends. Sometimes you establish a very close friendship with somebody, and you have a great level of trust and love for each other, and they do something that's very hurtful, or you do something and they don't agree with you, and they cut you down behind their back. They talk about you to other people behind your back. And in a sense, that can be betrayal, and it really impacts that relationship. So here's the thing. Every time that somebody does that, there's a couple. This is your level of trust, okay? So this is your level of when you trust somebody, it adds marbles to this, okay? And eventually your cup's going to be full, and you have complete trust. And then when something happens, it kind of takes some marbles out, right? Now, if something major happens, and I'm just going to use a marriage relationship, and something like that happens, it takes time to build that back up again. You know, if you do something over time, long enough, it builds that relationship back up, builds that trust. Something like a betrayal in a marriage, or a betrayal, I don't know, something, it could be between friends, it could be, take Robert Hansen. He does that one act, and boom, there goes all the marbles. It's all gone. And now you got to start completely over, or either you walk away from it. So that can always be rebuilt, but it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of work. I mean, you can lose your trust in somebody in something they do in 5 minutes. Like, the trust that you've built up in a period of years can be gone in a couple minutes. So you have marriage, you have government, you have friends, and like I said earlier, you kind of expect that from an enemy, but when it comes from a friendship, that's very devastating. Don't fear the enemy that attacks you, but the fake friend that hugs you. Another one is the body of Christ. And I'm not just talking about Way of Jesus Fellowship, I'm talking about the larger body of Christ. And this is probably the one that I'm referring to most this morning. And this is the one that I think across the board, we can learn a lot in this. And I have some things that I really want to see Way of Jesus get a hold of and have a mindset around that. Before I get into that, I'm going to talk about one example of a betrayal that was very painful, and that was the betrayal of Christ by Judas. So I'm going to turn to that in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and saw opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Now let's just think about this a little bit. This is a man who walked with Jesus day in and day out for years. He had an established relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this isn't somebody that just came in the scene. I don't even think it was Judas's intent when he became part of the, when he was called as a disciple. I think he had a pure heart. I don't think it was intent to infiltrate that body or that partnership. It was not his intent. But as he, I think he was the treasurer, if I remember correctly. And so I think he saw the money. And so it was, he saw a chance for financial gain. And so he took advantage of that. And now just put yourself in Jesus' shoes here too. So here was a man, he had an established relationship. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew out ahead. We don't have that benefit of knowing that, of knowing who's going to betray us, who's going to be faithful to us, who are we building relationships that relationship's going to continue or it's going to end based on their betrayal of us. Jesus knew that. Jesus still continued to build a relationship with him. Jesus still counted him as one of the 12. Jesus still walked with him. He built that relationship, and I think they became close friends. I'm guessing they became close friends. And Jesus knowing that the whole time. So it comes to the Last Supper here in verse 47. And while he was still speaking, and here he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is just waking his disciples up. Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he was still speaking, behold a multitude. And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? So here we have it. Judas saw his opportunity. He went to the chief priests and he said, what would you give me? If I betray Jesus to you, what will you give me? And they made a bargain with him. So here he comes into the Garden of Gethsemane and he betrays Jesus with a kiss. Now, I don't know. Can you just feel, and if you've ever experienced that, you can just feel the pain that Jesus may have felt at that time. Just the pain of somebody that was a close friend and he thought he's going to be with him for life. He had given him instructions on how they're to carry his mission out, and here this man betrayed him, one of his close friends. Infiltrated within the body. It wasn't an enemy from without that betrayed him. It was a friend from within. Probably one of the most painful betrayals that there is, and Jesus Christ experienced that. When you undermine your own, and here's where I want us to think about this within the body of Christ. It's not just within this body, it's within the body of Christ. So Matthew 12:30 says this, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So by default, when you undermine your own, you're not only betraying your own, but by default, you're backing the enemy. Now think about that. Think about that as an army. Think about that as the body of Christ. So here we are trying to accomplish something on the earth for the glory of God. And when we start to pick on each other, when we start to pick on different groups or different denominations, what we're actually doing is we're now joining the enemy camp in tearing those people apart. We're giving the enemy information, or we're giving him a foothold to work in other people's lives when we choose to do that, when we choose to betray our enemies. Now, how do we betray others within the body of Christ? And I think a lot of it just comes down to the words we use. What are the words we're speaking to those around us? What are the words we're speaking to each other here? Are they words of blessing or are they words of cursing? And if you're speaking words of cursing to each other, you are joining the enemy camp. This goes for the larger body of Christ, not just us here. And I hear a lot of this within different denominations. And I'm going to say, it is not right. It is not right. Now, do you just think about what the Church of Jesus Christ in America, with the freedom that we still have today, what they could accomplish if they would rally together and make a difference. We had a discussion recently, it was our small group, about abortion. And I don't know how deeply do you care about that? Are you okay with what's going on around us? Are you okay with what's happening? What are you doing about it? What are we doing about it? What is the body as a whole doing about it? Do they care? Or are they just sitting back and doing nothing? Or are they just being pawns? I know there's different places, there's different ways for us to get involved there. And I'm not saying one way or the other, but I'm just saying, do we even care? And I think it starts with that, is do we care about what's going on? Think about it. I mean, just think, if we as a church would band together, like we would get together, we'd be serious about that and attacking those things from a spiritual level, I think we could make a difference. Instead, what do we see more around us more than anything else, from my experience, is we attack each other. And why is that? It's like betraying each other. It's like betraying each other within the body of Christ. We look around us and we say, we're the gauge. And so if we gauge everybody else around us according to what we do, and everybody that's a little different is on a different path or is on a different journey, and I think we need to learn to embrace that. Now, there's not a lot that we can do on a national level other than start here. You can start on an individual level. We can start as a body of believers here, and we can make a difference in that area. We can, like, what are we saying about people around us? What are we saying about people that are on a little different, are on a different journey than what we are? Are we betraying them to the enemy? Do we curse them? Do we curse people within because they don't think exactly like us? What are we doing with that? And I want us to think about that. I want Way of Jesus to be a church that wherever they go, they are a blessing and they are speaking life. I understand that there are things that can be out of alignment, but let's edify the things that are in alignment instead of picking apart what's not in alignment. Let's look at our own lives and make sure that we're in alignment there and the areas that we can influence, and that's where we're going to make the difference instead of tearing people apart that are part of us in the long run. Think about how it looks from God's perspective. So the Church of Jesus Christ is his bride, right? It's people that he cares deeply about. Jesus cares deeply about you and I. He cares deeply about his church. He cares what happens. And when he sees us picking each other apart and joining the enemy force to tear us apart or to betray us, think about what that does to his heart. Betrayal destroys trust. The other thing about betrayal is it can only happen if you love. And love means exposing yourself to the pain of being hurt, deeply hurt by someone you trust. And like it says here in Matthew 12, verse 30, that if you're not with me, if Jesus is saying this in his own words, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not planting with me, you're scattering abroad. So check. Let's just take some time to just check ourselves. Where are we at? Are we okay with the body of? Are we okay with working with people who are a little different from us or who are on a little different journey? And I don't know how that looks. I honestly don't always know how that looks, but let's don't tear each other down with our words. And I want this church to be known for a church that blesses, that we bless those around us. They might be different. There might be some things that are not in line. Let's bless each other where we can. So instead of just thinking about ourselves and the gain we can get, whatever it is we're trying to gain by exposing others, let's think about how is this affecting the larger body. Instead of being like Robert Hansen, where he just cared about himself and not thinking about how it's going to affect the larger country where he's from, Not thinking about that, but only thinking about his gain. What are you thinking about when you talk about somebody else? When you tear somebody else down? When you start saying things about somebody else or another denomination or another part of the body of Christ, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about how that's going to impact the bride of Christ as a whole? Or is it just about you that you're thinking about? So, betrayal is painful. And I think, you know, if you've experienced that and you don't have healing from that, I think God wants to bring healing to that. And he wants you to build friendships and to build relationships and to rebuild that trust with each other. It's not impossible. You can start doing little stuff that's going to rebuild that up. And I think it was you, Nelson, that just said that's one of our weak areas here, is we just don't really trust each other. And I think we need to learn that. I think we need to learn to trust. And I'll admit that for me, my personality, I struggle with being vulnerable. And if you're not vulnerable, you're not going to experience the level of trust and love that we can have as brothers and sisters. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've experienced it, it can be rebuilt. But as you're looking around, as you're interacting with the community, as we interact with the larger body of Christ, let's think about what we're saying. Let's think about how we're impacting them. Let's think about it before we tear other people down. And let's learn to bless and not to curse. So I'm going to leave you with that. And Dale, it's back to you.